Welcome to WeAreTechnology.com's User Friendly 2.0 with host Bill Sickens, Technology Architect.
And this is User Friendly 2.0. Bill Gretchen, may the fourth be with you.
May the fourth
and
be
also with you.
Yes, that's always what I think too. For any of our Catholic listeners, there's a little bit of a comparison there.
People
so
say that to you.
Is Star Wars Day. Yes. Yeah. Why would that happen to us once at a Comic-Con too? I remember leaving and that comment was made, and it's like, yeah, that totally makes sense. So anyway, May the 4th is considered Star Wars Day because of that. And then the better day is Revenge of the Fifth tomorrow, you know, or Revenge of the Sith. So
but nobody does anything on that day.
Well, maybe we should change that.
Yeah. You know, I want two Star Wars days.
Yeah, well, I'd be up for that. But if anything, I think most of us have learned in the last, going on 3 years now, you don't really want real world supervillains. It's fine in science fiction, but not, fourth is still okay. And I know, we're just getting done with a thing here in Oregon. They had a big Star Wars Day at the mall, Washington Square Mall in Beaverton, for any of our local listeners. In fact, it's still going on. You want to get out there, but you need to before the mall closes. But this is something that's done all over the place. And back when Jeremy was still with us a few years ago, I know we went to one at a casino in Susanville, which was really a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was the Indian casino. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was the Indian casino. It was really cool. And that's a nice casino up there anyway. If you get to Susanville, it's a great place to stay. But they were doing this stuff. And there's things like this happening all over the place. So next segment, we're going to talk Star Wars. We never do that on the show, so this will be very unusual.
I know.
I guess the sarcasm sign can't be seen over the radio, huh? But but anyway, so yeah, but let us know if anything you've done for Star Wars Day. We'd love to hear some feedback. We've been getting some good information back in too on some of these different things. And one of the new features that's going to be coming up pretty soon is we are going to be doing a listener talkback segment. This is something that's been asked for. And one of the things with changing technology is once upon a time with radio, you used to have call-ins. And they used this weird thing where you had to pick up this device that was wired to a wall and dial a number and, that kind of a thing. Well, in modern times, you can still do that. It's just done through the internet. And I know this is something you've been asking for. So we're putting it together finally, and we're going to have some fun with that, where we'll do a modern version of a call-in and answer some of these questions. But yeah, let us know if you did anything for Star Wars Days. We'd love to hear from you and love to talk about it in future episodes. All right, well, let's go ahead and jump into the news. In the next segment, we're going to talk more Star Wars. What do we have in the news this week?
All right, if you receive a Sheen mystery box, do not open it.
So
what's up?
Subscription boxes are... Yeah, well, let's kind of start that from the beginning, because that's a very good question. And what this has to do with is subscription boxes. This is where you can buy a subscription like you would to a magazine or something, but it's a box that comes back in. Sheen is a company that does this with women's fashion and men's too, but primarily women's fashion. At least that's where they started.
Okay.
And the idea of a mystery box, or what they're talking about here, what's going on, is there are emails going out that impersonate this company. And I've actually seen it for others, but this one's been a big deal lately, where it will say, you've got a Sheen mystery box, open the email and give us your information, and we'll send it to you. Well, this isn't real, and it's something that is a phishing thing designed to get your personal information. You get into it. I saw it and actually started clicking through it a little bit just to see what it was. I did this on a friend's computer. That's neither here nor there, but you really don't want to be doing this unless you know that you're in a secure environment. It's not going to screw anything up. This one didn't from that respect. There was no malware, but what it did is it went through a very good looking impersonation of their website. And wow, you've got this free mystery box. All you have to do is pay shipping. Well, okay. And the shipping's $5 or something. It's not a lot, but in order to pay that shipping, you need to put in your name, address, credit card number, and all these other things. And now the bad guys have your name, address, credit card number, and all these other things. Yeah. And of course you're never going to see a mystery box. So just be careful. And the thing of it is, especially with a lot more of use of AI, it's getting harder and harder to tell the fake emails. And this is a problem. But in a case like this, first of all, if something seems too good to be true, old adage, it probably is. But go to the website, don't click a link in the email, but actually go to the website, in this case, Sheen, and find out if they sent you a free mystery box. If they did, they're certainly going to tell you about it because that'd be a big promotional thing. But if they didn't, if you're not expecting it, or certainly if you're not a customer of theirs, this probably is a good red flag that this might be fake.
Change Healthcare hacked using stolen Citrix account with no multi-factor authentication.
So we talked about this when it happened, and this was a big deal a little earlier this year, back in late February. And Change Healthcare is a company related to it, are a number of different brands that we've heard of, United Healthcare being one of the bigger ones, and Optum. So the thing of it is, with all of this, is what happened is it turns out they were using a Citrix server. For anybody that doesn't know, Citrix is a kind of a server that you can get onto remotely. They've been around for a long time, and the technology is actually pretty good behind that, but they figured it where it just took a username and a password. No multi-factor authentication, no challenging for the administrative access. As a result, the bad guys got into their system by simply logging on. They didn't have to hack anything. And were able to disrupt insurance payments, prescriptions, and all kinds of other things in doing this. So it's just one of the things, like I say, this is just a little bit of a follow-up on that story as to what happened. And I always tell people that there's no such thing as hack-proof. If you're online, it's possible to get hacked. I've used this analogy before. It's kind of like the lock on your front door. The bigger the lock, more likely it is for the bad guy to go somewhere else. But healthcare data is a big deal, and it's something that the bad guys really try to get to. And if you don't put the big lock on the front door, in this case, multi-factor authentication and other protocols to make sure that things will be secure, then I really think, in my opinion, this is not a legal opinion, but in my opinion, they are partially responsible for this because they really didn't do what they should have for very basic mitigation of this kind of a problem.
Yeah.
All right. Apple banned this app for years. It's now America's number one iPhone app.
Yeah. And without any further ado, the app is called Delta, D-E-L-T-A. And what it is it's a video game emulator. So you can use it to play Super Mario Brothers on your iPhone, stuff like that. And for a long time, iPhone had a prohibition against emulators being able to work on their platform for some reason. Now, I can obviously understand this if it's one that's violating copyrights. If you've ever gone on to some of these like Temu's one and Wish, where you can buy a video game system for $50 with, 10 million games on it or something, that what they're really doing is they've got just a really kind of low-end hardware, and they've stolen the ROMs, which are the data files that make the games work, and put them all onto this thing, and then they send it to you, illegal, as anything. But there's another side of this, too, where this is actually very legitimate, and we've seen it in a lot of these consoles that have been licensed and re-released, like a Nintendo Mini or even a Commodore 64 Mini, these type of things that are completely legitimate. And the soft ROM is licensed, but there's still an emulator. What's in that is not the original hardware. It's something that can run the original code. Even on the new Atari 2600 Plus that's just come out, that's a modern video game system, but still runs the old Atari 2600 cartridges, that's an emulator. It's not the same processor and other things that would have been in the original Atari 2600. But it's, again, completely legit to do it that way, and a lot of companies do. But Apple, for whatever reason, in their wisdom, decided that any emulator was not going to be allowed on the platform. Well, I think a lot of this is pushback from the anti-monopoly stuff that's been going on in Europe, forcing them to open some of these things up. So they've been kind of backing off some of the weird rules a little bit. And this has rocketed up to being the number one iPhone app since it was made to be allowed, I think, about 3 weeks ago now. And it actually is kind of cool. It works pretty well. I got to play with it a little bit myself. Super Mario Brothers is the one I was thinking of because that's the one that I got with it, and it worked just fine. And unlike a lot of other emulators, it's rock solid. The sound is correct. The sprites are correct. It doesn't seem to do anything weird. So I'm a fan of it, too. I can understand why this would be popular. Now, these apps do exist on Android as well. If you go on and get ROMs that you're not supposed to and add them to them, that can be a little bit of what they call legal gray area. So it's a little bit hit and miss. But as long as you're running licensed software, you're good to go. And that's basically what this comes down to. So it's really a cool way on your iPhone to be able to play some legacy video games that a lot of people find fun.
skimming theft on the rise.
Yeah, I think this is a little deja vu. You know, we've been doing the show for, what, 10 years now. I think every year we at least have one or two times that this topic comes up. Well, here it is again. Mm-hmm. And is there a new twist on it? Yeah, a little bit. So what skimming is, for anybody that may not be familiar with the term, is where a bad guy will go to a credit card reader in a legitimate store and basically have something that they stick on top of the real reader. So when you insert your credit card, what happens is it works because it's going into the machine, but the thing that they put on there, which is called a skimmer, is able to read the data off your credit card, save it, and then they can make a fake credit card based on your numbers. Now, when this was really bad was with magnetic strip cards, which the rest of the world has, and we are starting to move away from, because that's how they work. So if you use Tap to Pay or a system like that, it's not so much a problem. Well, the twist on this is now they're putting micro video cameras so that they can video the person using the machine. So if they put in a PIN code or something, they're able to get that as well from typing it onto the keypad. You know, so again, one of these type of situations, most things are being upgraded. I know personally, I put a piece of electrical strip over the mag strip on the cards just because we shouldn't need to still have them. Now, I will tell you, if you go to a vendor and the electrical tape comes off in their reader, like in a gas pump, they do get a little upset with you about that.
Oh,
but at the end of the day... It's just mag strips are kind of still, they still work as a backup. Most modern credit card readers will require that you either use tap or the chip first. And yeah. Then if for some reason that doesn't work, then it will prompt you to do the mag strip. Other parts right. of the world, if you go, the credit card readers they have don't even have a mag strip reader anymore. It just is something that's been completely taken out. So I think we're heading that direction here. It is very insecure. It's not encrypted and people can literally make a copy of your card. So Tap to Pay is safe. Chip reader is reasonably safe. Just something to be careful. And again, I highly advise don't use debit cards. People get the PIN code. They can get right to your checking account. At least with a credit card, if it gets stolen, you have the ability to call the bank and you're not having a situation where all of your liquid cash has been drained out of your account.
Yeah, that's scary. All right, Star Wars confirms Darth Vader's return in 2024 Disney Plus show. So I love Darth Vader. He's one
I'm
going
to just favorites. Say dun 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 because I can't do the Darth Vader theme. I don't. Can you do the Darth Vader theme?
You mean the bum 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 ba dum?
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum. You know the Imperial March, which is also Darth
that's,
Vader's.
That's theme. The Darth Vader theme. Yes. So welcome to user-friendly karaoke.
Could have gone on.
So here we are on Star Wars Day. Gretchen, why don't you tell us a little bit about this? You like Darth Vader, I know, as a villain. Yeah. So what's happening?
I don't know. You're supposed to tell me what's supposed to happen. Where is he showing up?
Oh, well, I don't know. It's not like I work for Disney or have access to any of this kind of thing.
hey.
You know, hey, yeah, that's more, anyway, the Fonz, right? All right.
Yeah.
So,
hey, my last name is Winkler.
Some of the stuff. Yes, this is true. All right. To switch back to this a little bit, Tales of the Empire is a show where this is, I think where this is going to end up being. Now, Gretchen, do you know anything about Tales of the Empire? Because I legitimately don't
know
what that's going to be about.
Yeah. There's been, they did a version of this, last year. I believe it was last year. And they're like short cartoons. And last year they did it where it was focused on Count Dooku and Ahsoka. And this year they're focusing on Imperials. And I believe it is on Barriss Offee. And I cannot remember the witch lady, the Dathomir witch lady's name. She was in the Ahsoka series. She's kind of a kick ass and knows how to do the cool martial arts and that stuff. So I think it's focusing on both of these two individuals' backgrounds and stories. So I could see Darth Vader showing up, especially if Barriss becomes an Inquisitor. Think about it. She was ripe for it. I've been waiting for this. Right. Jeremy and I were wondering, did Barriss become an Inquisitor? So hopefully we'll get an answer to that.
Well, it'll be interesting. So anybody that wants to check it out, the full season Tales of the Empire drops today for Star Wars Day. Hey, you know, there you are. I have to check it out and see what it actually is and see if it's enjoyable. Did you like the past seasons of this?
Yes, they were really well done.
All right, cool. Well, let us know what you think. All right, what's next?
There's finally a gift even for that loved one who has everything.
Yeah, and Bill, I think this is actually something you would like to have. I know I would. It is a flamethrower-wielding robot dog.
Okay.
I asked you earlier when we read through these, was there something for my mom? And I don't think my mom wants a flamethrower-wielding dog.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think we should at least find out.
No, because I'm going to have to deal with that mess.
The company that's making this is called Throw Flame, and the name of the dog is Therminator.
Oh, geez.
And he can be operated remotely by Wi-Fi or Bluetooth and can shoot up to 30 feet.
So he's cameras an assassin. And sensors
I guess so. You know? Cameras and sensors allow it to move autonomously through its surroundings. Okay, what could go wrong there?
Okay,
right?
Okay. So now all of a sudden I'm seeing, lots of militaries all over the world are now ordering this toy dog so they can send him out to do their dirty work.
You know, it's I don't know. According to the company, government agencies could use it for wildfire control and prevention. Well, I think your application might be a little more
believable.
Oh, my goodness. The robot can avoid obstacles and leap into the air, and its battery life can last for up to an hour. And the suggestions they're making for this, it could be used for entertainment. Well, I guess it depends on what you find entertaining. So, Bill, you and I each need to get one of these and have like a robot fight, but always a Ronkin' Conkin' Robots or whatever that was.
Yeah. So that would be Ronkin' Sock'em.
Others have used it for things like cleaning the driveway of snow and ice. Okay, that actually might make a little more sense. And, as far as this goes, I would definitely say, depending on what state you're in, you probably want to check it out before this. According to their press release, Maryland has banned flamethrowers. A permit is required in California, but the federal government does not regulate them. Now, I know if mine not a flamethrower, it's been the same type of thing. And, as far as all of this goes, at the end of the day, but the price on this is a little bit more than the not a flamethrower. The retail price on this starts at $9,420.
Yeah.
So order three. Don't tell them we sent you. That might be bad.
All right. An engineer says he's found a way to overcome Earth's gravity. So,
So I'm going to start at the beginning with this because this sounds interesting. And this isn't the first time this claim has been made. Now, what they're talking about here is basically a way like Star Wars where you have anti-gravity. An anti-gravity engine might be the best way to do this. And obviously, if this kind of technology could be made to work, it would be a big deal, be a game changer in a lot of ways for a number of different things, not just here on Earth, but going into space and all of that kind of stuff. I could see where this could really work. The engine creates thrust without propulsion. Now, the only problem with that is that kind of defies the laws of physics. When you think about this, you're dealing with something here where, could this really be happening? So technically speaking, if you want to get into that, it's the conservation of momentum. And this is a part of Newton's first law of motion. But hey, as they said in the pirate movie, there are more guidelines, especially in this day and age. So if this could actually be done, it would be incredible. The term that was given to this previously was something called an impossible drive, basically because it would be impossible, at least it has been. However, it looks like there is an engineer that has come up with a bit of a proof of concept for this. And if it could actually work, I mean, it could really change things. It's something that would head in the direction. Now, I know we see anti-grav technology a lot in Star Wars. Star Trek sort of has it, but they don't do it a lot. And I've been told it's mm-hmm. because it's expensive to film anti-gravity stuff for the series. Just like the same reason Next Generation had holographic displays in the conference rooms in the first season, and they quit doing it for the most part because it costs more money to have that special effect, right?
Well, even the uniforms that the Star Trek people were wearing, I mean, look at poor Wesley Crusher. You were looking at the poor guy going, get him a new costume. It's getting too tight. He's growing.
Right, right.
Poor guy.
So anyway, so I'm going to dig into this and try to find out what some of the details are. I've reached out to where this article came from and was very interested to find out that the reply that came back to me, because I didn't know who I was talking to, actually came from somebody at the Kennedy Space Center, which meant that I had a little more faith in this maybe being something that was a little bit more than hogwash.
Neat.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, if we can go in this direction, if we could do this in combination with the, you know, fusion and some of these other things, well, we could maybe jump a little bit ahead of the technology game. And I don't know, it'd be kind of cool. I'm already ready to, you know, try a jetpack. I mean, an anti-gravity device would be really cool. Speeder. You could actually have the speeder out of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. And one final thing here, I want to answer a listener question, actually, that a couple of you have sent in. And this is something that's been in the news a little bit lately, which is why this has been a thing. And the question is it safe to store money in apps like PayPal, Memo, these type of things? So what it is, I'm going to use PayPal as an example, but most of them work like this, is you have the ability to send online electronic payments for things. And what they usually do is hook up to your checking account or credit card or whatever. And then when you make a payment, it goes to the person receiving it and they put it back into their bank account. But apps like PayPal, you can leave money in them if you want to. And it's advised not to do this. So the answer to this question is probably no, not it's going to get stolen kind of no, but just a situation that these apps don't fall under the same regulation as something like a bank account would. You also don't have things like FDIC insurance on the money that's in an app of this nature. So I think my answer to that would be that I would suggest that you use them for sending payments. Certainly it's a lot safer, I guess would be the word I'm looking for, than sending a check through the mail or something. But once the money is paid and comes into the other end, transfer it back into your bank account or whatever, but don't leave it actually in the app. And I know one of the other things, I've been a user of PayPal for many years, and sometimes I love them and sometimes I don't, but I have had problems off and on over the years where in order to dispute something or try to get money back that's disappeared or whatever is a lot more difficult than it would be with a bank, because it's somewhat subjective in if they're going to return it or not, you know? And in the day of cryptocurrency and all of that, there's some other weird things going on too. So, you know, I don't know. PayPal, when it was under, or not under the control of, but was part of eBay in those days, it was focused on that one thing, paying for your eBay purchases. They've divested it now and they do their own thing. And it just seems like you don't have a lot of the, you know, same stuff you did. All right, this is User Friendly 2.0. We're going to be talking Star Wars after the break. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. Check out our website, userfriendly.show. It's your one stop for everything user friendly. You can listen to back episodes, read the article, submit your questions. Everything there is there. So check it out. By the way, our podcast is carried on most podcast platforms, but you got to ask for User Friendly, the podcast. Because if you just ask for User Friendly, you're probably not going to get the right series. So just keep that in mind, or just go to the website, again, userfriendly.show, and you can get to the right one from there. So earlier that it is.
I bet you the other ones will not be talking about Star Wars.
I think that's probably a pretty fair bet. I think the house can take odds on that today, but we are, and that the house could have taken odds on that being a shocker too. But yeah, so it's kind of cool that we're actually landing on airing on Star Wars Day. I don't know if that's happened before, but we talked about this a little bit in the intro of the show, but for anybody that doesn't know, what it is May the 4th is taken after the term of May the Force be with you out of Star Wars. And that over the years has kind of evolved into what's known as Star Wars Days. And there's activities going on all over the place. One of the more unique ones up here that I recently found out about is the Wilsonville, Oregon Library is having a Star Wars where you can have goats dressed in as Jedi or some such thing. So there's all kinds of different applications of these different things. I know a few years ago we were talking in the beginning that we went to a show out in Susanville, which was a lot of fun. And there's been a lot of different things going on. Today and tomorrow, the Washington Square Mall here in Beaverton is doing a thing for Star Wars Days and Legos. I mean, you know, so that's going to be kind of cool. And if you can't get out today, maybe check it out tomorrow. It's something that's a lot of fun and something really for the whole family. So kind of cool. Get to see the costumes and get to kind of interact with things. There's even an option for adults to build something out of Legos and take it home.
Cool.
So let's talk about this. Gretchen, I know it was a long, long time ago in a place far, far away that you got into Star Wars originally, but you are our resident Star Wars expert. And then Bill would be next. And then I'm still figuring out that Palpatine's a senator, but
yeah,
all different levels of expertise with these things. And
I still remember that feeling of mistake. You know, senator.
Yeah, so since this has been brought up, this is actually a true story. So I cosplay, among other things, Palpatine. And I did this at the Comic-Con in San Diego. So the biggest one in the world, why not? And at that time, kind of didn't realize that knowing your backstory probably is a little bit important. So we're out there and I'm in the costume and everybody's coming up to me and going, hello, Senator, and these kind of things. And I fortunately didn't do this publicly, but stepped aside and asked Gretchen and Jeremy, why does everybody keep calling me Senator? And the look you gave me was really, yeah.
What is that? The face palming thing?
Yes. You know? Yeah. So I bet all of our Star Wars fans didn't know this, but Palpatine started out as a senator before he became an emperor. I mean, you know, that's a newsflash here. Heard it first on User Friendly, right? So,
yeah. And the sad thing is,
no,
is
but you I know make, over the years,
you make a pretty good Palpatine, you know?
So I've been told, you know, I've been told I don't even necessarily need the costume. So, you know, I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not, but hey.
No, that's not a compliment.
No, but we've all done Star Wars cosplays. I know, Bill, you have a character that we did at a Halloween party a few years ago.
Well, I have a Darth Revan, yeah.
Yeah, Revan.
Yeah, that was cool.
Darth Revan, Sith, yeah. Which was a really cool costume. And that year I was in, was I doing Palpatine that year? I can't remember now.
Yep.
So we were all Sith. So, you know, hey.
Well, but, Jeremy was like, it was in the wannabe Sith costume. He was dressed as Kylo
Ren. He was a Jedi?
No, he's Kylo Ren. You know, wanna be a Sith. You know, okay, wanna be a Jedi. I think the guy was confused.
He's an emo teenager. Just couldn't figure it out.
Really. There you go.
There you are.
Nobody understands me, so I'm gonna destroy a console.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna kill my dad.
I still. They did. I think that was the character they did. Undercover boss spoof.
Yes.
And that was so funny. And so he's in there, you know, and you know, these people coming up complaining about the quote stormtrooper program and how dangerous it is. And he's like losing it. And
that was funny. Yeah, he did a great job. Was
anyway, so Star Wars is described in general as an American epic space opera created by George Lucas and started in 1977 with the first film. It was episode four, right? So I guess George Lucas and Bill Gates count the same way, you know, just not in order. But
well, there's a story behind that. At least the stories that I've heard was that he had 9 stories that he, you know, and the thing was, is they weren't sure whether this would be popular. So they thought the wisest story set of stories to do would be the New Hope one. They thought that would be the most successful. At least that's the stories that I have heard. I don't know. Maybe George Lucas will call us and go, "Hey, you're wrong. This is the way it is." So,
I would welcome that and be happy to have that conversation. But yeah, so it started out 1977 was the original film, and then, like you say, there were two others: Empire Strikes Back in 1980 and Return of the Jedi in 1983, and then the infamous Star Wars Christmas special came out,
which he did not.
That time. No, that was definitely. For anybody that hasn't seen it, don't. And if you do, don't blame me.
No. I was a little kid when I saw that on TV live.
Right.
It was traumatizing.
Right. And that's the rumor of how that happened. Yeah. Now we got Boba Fett out of it.
Yes.
And in the Wookiee Life Day. I mean, you know, so there were some things that came from that. But the rumor on that is a CBS wanted to produce a Christmas special, and it had all the original actors, but they told the actors, apparently, and again, this is a rumor that I've been told, that they were filming this, but they didn't tell them this wasn't authorized by George Lucas. So they showed up and put this thing together, and between the singing in the bar and the weird holographic, let's just say adult videos the Wookiees look at, and some of the other things that were created in this, you're kind of going at the end of this, what just happened? And am I still sane?
Well, it was like Star Wars meets Laugh-In at moments. I don't know. You guys probably don't even remember Laugh-In, but I was a little kid when Laugh-In was this popular kind of 60s, 70s, you know, and they do campy humor. And then there'd be splashes of wild color, you know, like psychedelic trip stuff. And that's what that seemed like to me.
I don't know. So it was, you know, just that kind of thing. And then after that, not a lot happened. I know there were some TV things, at least I think there were. And then you jump ahead, and the next movie that came out was Episode One, the prequels. The first one, Phantom Menace, being in 1999, Attack of the Clones in 2002, and Revenge of the Sith in 2005. Now, that's where things, there's lovers and haters on that, you know, and we got some good characters out of it, I think, and some other ones that maybe weren't so much. I don't know. What do you guys think about the prequels? Let's go ahead and have that conversation.
I was okay with them other than how they deviated from the stories.
Yeah.
At first, I really didn't like them, but after the last trio came out, I can kind of say, that's much better.
Yeah, it's sad because it's exactly right. I mean, for anybody that I know that was, you know, kind of on the fence about it, they loved it after the last ones came out. So the last three, Force Awakens in 2015, Last Jedi in 2017, and The Rise of Skywalker in 2019, and oh boy. Again, there's a lot of lovers and haters on this, but I tend to fall on the, I don't know how to make up my opinion, because frankly, the last two at least didn't make any sense.
No.
The Palpatine clone thing, and I just like, what is going on, you know?
Yeah. Now on the Phantom Menace, the prequels, the only thing that really irked me was the midichlorians. I do not care for the midichlorians because it changed how a person could become a Jedi.
Define a midichlorian.
It's just some
space magic
supposed to, or little bugs that's in your blood or something ridiculous like that. I did not.
That's
like
what
that.
I understood it to be. It was like almost aliens that were in your blood or some such thing. I don't know if
and,
that's the description.
And to me, that took away the free will. You know, that means that Vader didn't choose to go to the dark side. That means that Luke didn't choose to save his dad. The midichlorians did everything for you. So it removed the free will from the characters. I don't like the midichlorians. I can put up with Jar Jar Binks. He could have been toned down a little bit. Maybe not so ridiculously silly, but he wasn't necessary. I know people absolutely, you know, really despise him. But the thing was, is you who was completely guileless to do the foolish thing, for Palpatine and Mossa Maeda in the political stuff. And if you don't understand the political stuff, I don't know what to say to you.
Well, it's necessary. It's like a completely baseless theory that he was a Sith.
True. And as far as the politics go, it's been said if you, you know, you could mistake one of the prequels for C-SPAN, some part of it. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, see, I don't think so. It was really necessary to the story. Maybe this is coming from the writer in me, because you want to establish things to make sense. And you needed somebody to be absolutely
perfectly honest. I didn't dislike Jar Jar Binks. I do agree that maybe he could have been toned down a little bit, but I didn't hate the character. You know, and there's definitely a lot of different different direction that goes, but it doesn't stop at the movies. This has spawned popular culture since this has come out. I mean, you know, some of the spinoff on that, we talk about tabletop role-playing games. There's been several of those. Star Wars, the role-playing game by West End, as early as 1987 is when that was published. Wizards of the Coast jumped on it in 2000 and made their own. And another one by a company that I hadn't heard of called Fantasy Flight Games came out in 2012. Bill, have you heard of the third one or even the company? Okay. So maybe I just haven't heard of it. Are they any good? I haven't played it. So,
well, like one is run off of a similar to D&D, the Wizards of the Coast one. I believe the Fantasy Flight runs off of the Fate system. So it uses a different dice than all the others. But I've only really heard good things about them.
We're going to have to give these a try, I think, because it'd be kind of fun. Maybe we could do a Roll 20 campaign. We haven't done that in a while and video it and just see.
That'd be fun.
It couldn't go worse than when we attempted to do Star Trek. I mean, you know.
So, yeah, that was really bad.
Oh my goodness. That's a topic for another time, but yes. But you know, and then from that, you've gotten video games, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Sith Lords are some of the bigger ones, but there's been a bunch really of other ones out there too. I'm sorry, Bill?
Those are really good games.
Yeah, I think so too. They've been talking about a reboot with updated graphics and stuff, but even without that, they're still fun to play. And you know, speaking of such things, that's not even where this started. One of the very first Vector arcade games in the early 80s was Star Wars. And for anybody that doesn't remember, you know, now with the way we can do graphics and stuff, it isn't so much. But in that era, your 8-bit, 12K of memory games were very basic. And Vector games used a special kind of a monitor where it was sharp. It was really kind of cool. I know the operators didn't like it. It was one of the first color vector monitors, which are extremely difficult to keep working, even in that era, especially now. But it gave you something that was very, very unique. So you were seeing innovation going on even at that point. And then, you know, jump ahead, Knights of the Old Republic, some of the other things. There's online role-playing games, Galaxies, another of the Old Republic, Clone Wars Adventures, and that list goes on from there. And people are doing Star Wars role play all over the place of their own thing too, you know? And so it's something that's very much.
I've got a set of these little ships and I don't know where they're still packed away because, you know, I just recently moved and they're all these cute little ships of all different sizes. And it was supposed to be a game that you could like a strategy game.
Yeah. It's a really fun one. I've run another game that runs on the same rules that uses tanks, but yeah, it's about the movement and such. I can't remember if that's X-Wing or TIE Fighter, but yeah, that's a fun little game, especially when you start getting into the bigger Star Destroyer models.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, and stuff like that's pretty cool. You know, it just, it's a lot of fun. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give a little bit of a spoiler here. Not a spoiler, really, but on some of the stuff that's coming up. It doesn't end here. They're planning a lot of other movies. So in production, pre-production, development, so on, The Mandalorian, Grogu, which has a release date of 2026. And then after that, there's a new Jedi Order film coming out, a Dawn of the Jedi film coming out, and a New Republic film coming out in the years to follow.
Cool.
And some of the more interesting ones, the New Republic film is Dave Filoni. And, you know, I like some of the stuff that he's done. Jedi Order and Dawn of the Jedi are Kathleen Kennedy, so we'll see.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's... Not that I have a political feeling on that at all, but
no, not at all. No, I really like I like the stuff that Dave Filoni did. He was on Star Wars: The Clone Wars with George Lucas. That was a really well done cartoon series. You can also see his influences heavily in Rebels. And we just recently got the third and final season of Bad Batch, which was done really well. We just had the finale. And, you know, when you have cartoons that are crafted better than the big time films, you know, speaking specifically of the sequels, that really tells you something. You know, it's that it's the creative person who comes up with the stories and ideas that is the meat and potatoes of it. You can have all these beautiful actors and artwork, and if you don't have a good storyteller, it's going to be garbage. So, So I would like to see more things where Dave has a hand in things, and less Kathleen Kennedy and her inviting strange directors to write Star Wars that, you know, these are people that don't care. They're not interested in Star Wars. Right. And obviously Dave Filoni is invested in it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's just, and you know, another place where this goes, we started talked about this a little bit earlier, is cosplay. Now, in addition to a lot of people doing characters on their own and doing them very well, there are formal Star Wars cosplay groups that are nationwide, in some cases worldwide. The 501st Legion for the dark side, Rebel Legion for the light side. There's also a Mandalorian group, which is in a lot of different places, and a group that builds the droids. And the droid builder, they do some really cool stuff. I mean, they work well, too, and they look something that just came off of the screen. And I you know, you look at some of this going, okay, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have an emotional moment when I was just as Princess Leia going up to the R2 unit. It's like, oh. Yeah, nice, beautifully built robots. Just amazing. Have you guys ever thought about building?
You know, it would be kind of, I think, fun to do. I've built robots, not like that, but, you know, although I'm led to understand there's work. But at the end of the day, it's hey, when you're prototyping, you don't always know what's going to happen.
So, what kind of droid would you want to build?
I was between an R2 unit and an HK.
Oh. Explain the HK to everybody and Bill.
Well, that's an Old Republic one, HK 47 and 45, I believe it was. The most sarcastic, human-hating, or life-hating robots ever created is assassin droids.
Those are cool.
Similar to IG-88s. But,
those are cool.
Way earlier.
Oh, and you have a lot of differences. So the idea of a droid is based on AI, of course, and you know, so you've got these different things. I think my favorite one, if I had to pick one, is definitely Chomper, or Chopper, rather.
Yeah.
I don't know. It reminds me of my cat somehow.
It should.
I like the one from Solo. I can never remember her name. And the one from...
The L. Her name starts with an L.
Yeah, the one from Rogue One.
Okay. God. That's...
It's been too long since I've seen him.
Yeah. And my brain has been on Cyberhawk, so I'm not in Star Wars mode. I'm in Cyberhawk mode. I know what you're talking about, Imperial droid. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty.
And I know that one of the engineers I work with that's very good at this stuff and very much into Star Wars is building something called a destroyer droid, which is supposed to be something pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
But
I want a Sith probe droid to follow me around.
You can always start out easy with the little, the mouse boxes, the little boxes that run around on the Imperial ships.
Yeah, what are those called? I know what you're talking about.
They're called mouse droids.
And They're mounted. Oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, yeah. You know.
I'm sure that's what they're called. No, but it wasn't only the Sith
that didn't have to float. Yeah, that would be tough.
But I was going to say, it's not only the Sith that had the bad guy droids. I mean, the Jedi's had assault droids, right? So, you know, it wasn't limited to one side there. But, yeah. I'm just thinking about the idea of actually building one of these things. It's, Oh, what, the Jedi assault droids?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Let's see. The droids were expensive and difficult to produce, mainly because they required lightsaber crystals in order for their main weapon to work. So they were considered rare. Anyway, this, so I don't know. I'm sure there's somebody somewhere that
like
could really...
Like a D&D, like a role-playing game?
No, I'm looking it up on the Star Wars Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm. Must be Old Republic.
Yeah, it is a canon thing, but it's just, you know.
Hmm.
And I think the Sith droids are creepy. And
okay, Huang, he was a Jedi droid, and I like him.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Now, I don't think that was the assault droid, though, you know.
Mm-mm.
So, but... Well, you know, the other thing that's kind of coming about out about from this, too, which I'm kind of starting to see in the real world, is a lot of these vehicles. And that's another thing that's cool. I mean, we have a form of a speeder now that actually works. If you want to check that out, check out Bend, Oregon. That's where they have it. We have jetpacks. But a lot of the other things that you see in these type of things, what I'd like is something like a TIE fighter. I think I'd be cool with mm-hmm. that. Can you imagine all of us flying around in TIE fighters instead of driving cars? I mean, what could go wrong, right? about as much as all of us flying in jetpacks, but the it would be pretty cool until you had to take that thing to the mechanic. Oh boy,
yeah,
but
that'll be $100K.
But you know, some of the other things too, I don't know. The vehicles, Gretchen, if you had to have a Star Wars vehicle, what would you get?
Oh, that is tough. Because my main thing is I want the actual Force. But if we're going with it, Darth Maul's ship, the Infiltrator. I thought it was really practical.
Right.
But the TIE Fighter, Darth Vader's TIE Fighter, is cool because it has shields and it has the light drive. It doesn't get stuck.
Right.
So if you're going to go TIE Fighter, you have to go Darth Vader's. What do you want?
Okay, I mean, hey, me personally, I'd like something like a speeder bike.
Oh, that'd be fun.
You know, all the spaceships and stuff are cool, but that would be a lot of fun. It really would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Bill, what would your vehicle be if you were going to pick one of these?
Between speeder and AT-ST.
Okay, for anybody that doesn't know, what's an AT-ST?
That's the walker ones, the box ones.
Right. Okay.
The smaller ones.
The chicken walker.
AT-ATs.
Yeah.
The chicken walkers. Yeah. I don't know. I think if I had Nat at it, probably get mad at by the Homeowners Association wouldn't like that. So, you know, maybe I need to get one.
Yeah. You guys have enough parking problems with an AT-AT.
With an AT-AT, I wouldn't have any problem parking that.
No. Clomp, clomp, crush. Oh, sorry, neighbor. Yeah. You didn't want that car anyways.
Oh, did you see the, there's a horse that a guy did a cosplay with his horse of an AT-AT, and the horse doesn't like to come out of costume anymore.
Oh, I'd like that. Yeah.
There's this horse in a field as an AT-AT.
That would be something when you're driving up the freeway to see. I think that could be definitely a, you know, I spy with my little eye type situation. Anyway, well, listen, enjoy Star Wars days. Let us know what you think. And until next week, this is User-Friendly 2.0, keeping you safe on the cutting edge.
User-Friendly 2.0 is copyright 2013 to 2024 by User-Friendly Media Group Incorporated. All rights reserved. Opinions expressed on the show are those of the hosts and guests and not this radio station. Please check out userfriendly.show for airtimes and podcasts.